Fantastic. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 72. And let's go ahead and stand together just as we read a few verses to begin. We'll stand in respect and in honor to God's Word. As we read God's Word. Psalm chapter 72. Psalm chapter 72. And we're going to look here at verse number 8 to begin with. Psalm 72 and verse number 8. There are, if you missed last week, there are some faith promise cards for our missions program on the table in the hallway. If you didn't get a chance to pray over that yet or fill that in, please take that, be praying about what you can do for our missions program to help send the gospel to the ends of the earth. And fill that in and drop it in an offering plate sometime. And you'll be so glad that you had a part in getting the gospel out to the world. Okay, Psalm chapter 72 here and verse number 8. Psalm 72 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth." That he it's talking about is God. He shall have dominion. God, in other words, shall have dominion from sea to sea. And then let's go down to verse number 17. His name. Whose name? God's name. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. Notice this. All nations, to the ends of the earth, all nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. I want to speak to you this morning about God's glory to the ends of the earth. God's glory to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please take your word, take the truth this morning, use it to challenge us, to stir our hearts, that your name, that your glory might be made known to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. The Lord our God truly is a wonderful God who does wonderful things. Verse 18 said that. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. I'm glad our God is a real God, the true God, the living God, and he alone does wondrous things. The psalmist desired here that God would have dominion. We read about it in verse 8. He desired that God would have dominion from sea to sea and even to the ends of the earth, the Bible said. Psalm 72 and verse number 8 there was actually read in the morning devotions by one of the Canadian men who had a part in the naming of our country. I believe his name was Tully, if I remember right. I've got some pamphlets about it at home. But this man, he did his morning devotions. He got up and read his Bible that day before going into the parliament, before going in to meet with the other government leaders. And that group of men was actually meeting to choose a name for our country. And as the group of men were meeting to choose and make this decision and so on, he was inspired by what he read that morning in his morning devotions. When he got to Psalm 72, as he was reading the Psalms, and he came to verse number 8, and he thought about his God, and he thought, "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea." Mr. Tully thought, "Wow, I want that in my country. I want that in our nation. I would sure like God to have dominion and be glorified and so on from sea to sea, even to sea, you know, Atlantic to Pacific to Arctic." And he went that day and he went back and met with the leaders and so on and shared with them his idea. You see, he desired that God would be glorified and that the nation would be blessed. And so he suggested to the men that the official name of our country be called the Dominion of Canada. The Dominion of Canada. And it doesn't typically get written that way, but officially the name of our country is the Dominion of Canada. The Dominion of Canada. Why? Because there was a man that said, "I want God to have dominion. I want God to be glorified from sea to sea to sea." Oh, that it would be true that there'd still be some men today who would desire for God to be glorified and that he would have dominion in our nation. Look at that verse again with me. Verse number 8. "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto," what? "Unto the ends of the earth." to the ends of the earth. Go down to verse 17 again. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. We're so blessed because we know God, the true God, the living God. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. See, this God of the Bible, he's not just for one nation or one people group or this or that. He's for all nations. And he wants his name to be known in all nations, and he wants to be glorified in all nations. God's glory and God's dominion ought to be literally to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. The psalmist here prayed that the whole earth be filled with his glory. That God would have dominion from sea to sea and even unto the ends of the earth. You know, this verse inspires me and encourages me to seek God's glory to the ends of the earth. It encourages me to pray that the Lord would truly have dominion. That he would have dominion. He would have his way. He would be glorified and he would truly be, you know, the Lord God and the ruler. Cross our country and from sea to sea to sea, even unto the ends of the earth. You know, we should long for, we should desire that God would be glorified and that his wonderful name would be spread to all men, to all people, to all nations, to all people groups, even unto the ends of the earth. You know, God's love is for the whole world. I'm glad he loves the whole world. We were out meeting folks yesterday and we were knocking some doors, and I was in one apartment building and I knocked on their door, and a Filipino man answered the door, and I looked, and right on the wall up there behind him was one of those, was a verse written out. It said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know what? God loves the world, the whole world. He loves all people. His concern is for the whole world. Christ died for the whole world. Do you know that we have a global God? A global God. One God who loves every man and every woman and every child from every tribe, from every nation in the whole world. In verse number 8 there, it used the expression, unto the ends of the earth. In verse number 11 in that chapter, it says, all nations shall serve him. In verse 17, it said, all nations shall call him blessed. In verse 18 and 19, it said, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Our church wants God's glory to fill the whole earth. We want the Lord God Jehovah to be known in the whole earth. We want his name to be known. We want his name to be preached in all nations. I met a man yesterday from India, and he was a super nice man. A very elderly man, and he just looked good. He looked quite pure, actually. He looked like a very good man, and his wife came walking down the hallway of that building when we were there, and right away they were trying to offer us, you know, something to drink and something to eat, and they're just super nice people. And that man, we had so much in common. He talked and he read the little gospel tract that I gave him, and he right away began to tell me some things about what he believed, and so much of what he said I could agree with. You know, he said, you know, there's only one God, and yes, I believe that there's only one God. And he said, this life is just so very short, and we've got to prepare for the next life or for what's coming after this. And yes, I agree with that. And he shared with me some different things. And this man is a good man, I'm sure, and a sincere man and a nice man. But sadly, that man was a Muslim man. And as he shared more of what he believed, yes, there's one God. And yes, I believe there's one God. But he said that one God is Allah. There is only one God, but that God is Jehovah God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you got to understand when you're talking to people, Allah is not the same as the God of the Bible. If you were to read the Quran, it's a very different God that is described in that book than the God that is described in the Bible. And yes, there is only one God, but the God of this book, the God of the Bible, is a holy God, and he is a righteous God. He's a loving God and a merciful God and a forgiving God and a gracious God. And he's the God that this world needs to know about. He's the God whose name needs to be made known. He's the God who needs to be served in all nations. He's the God who needs to be preached in all nations. People need to know this God. So many people in the world still don't know the God of the Bible. They have their false gods. Some have their idols. Some have their statues. They have different things. But they don't know the God of the Bible. They don't know the Savior Jesus Christ. In Psalm 72, we're reminded of some of the things, some of the wondrous things that our Lord God does. Look at verse 18. It said, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things." What are some of those wondrous things he does? What are some of the wonderful things that the God of the Bible does? I know this. He loves the poor. He cares for the needy. He cares about widows and orphans and those that have no one to help him. Look what the Bible says back in verse number 4, Psalm 72 and verse 4. It says, "He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor," those that would oppress them. Verse number 12, "For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper." Our Lord God, the God of the Bible, he cares for the poor and needy. He loves them, and so too should we. You know, I thank God for many of our missionaries that minister to the poor, and they minister to the needy through their churches. They minister to them through their bus ministries. They minister to them through their Sunday school programs that love and reach the poor people. I'm thankful to support missionaries who show God's love to the poor and who show God's love to the needy by feeding them and by caring for them and by helping them. Amen? Amen. Isn't that good? It's wonderful when Christian people begin to show God's love. And I'm thankful for missionaries that are showing God's love to people and caring for the poor and caring for the needy. I'm thankful to support missionaries who have started children's homes to show God's love to orphans and show God's love to the unloved and show God's love to unwanted children. You know, sometimes with some of these homes and children's homes and orphanages and so on, sometimes children just get left on their doorstep. Sometimes babies get left on the doorstep of homes like this because someone says, I don't want to take care of them or I can't afford to take care of them. When I went to Mexico and saw the children's home of the Bryans, it's incredible, some of their stories, and I shared some of them with you after we returned from there. There are literally children sometimes where, you know, there's people that just, you know, they live in immorality and different things, and sometimes they're having children and they have no means to take care of them. Sometimes there are people that they're addicted to drugs and alcohol and different things, and they're just, you know, their mind is fried and they're just a mess in life. Sometimes there are children that have been born, you know, to mothers that have taken drugs and all these things, even through their pregnancy. And sometimes there's children that are born where just things aren't totally right because of how the drugs and so on had an effect on that baby. But I'm thankful for the Bryans. I'm thankful for the Ibarras. I'm thankful for those that minister with them and how they've taken some of these children that are many times very unloved and very unwanted and said to them, "Hey, God loves you. God cares about you." When we invest in our missionaries, we are helping to make God's name known to the end of the world, but we're also helping to share God's love and show God's love to people that are poor and people that are needy and people that need the love of God in their life. Turn with me over in the New Testament to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1 and verse number 27. This is really what our God's all about. This is really what God says pure religion is really all about. He wants something that's not just empty and meaningless and so on. You want something real. Here's what our God's like. James chapter 1 and verse number 27 says this: "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless." Who's that? Orphans. "To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction," those that have nobody to care for them, "to keep himself unspotted from the world." Listen, God loves the poor. God loves the needy. Just a few pages away, turn to the right, if you will, just closer to the end of your Bible, and you'll find the book of 1 John. 1 John, it's just not the Gospel of John, but near the very end of your New Testament, there's the epistle of 1 John. And look there at chapter number 3. 1 John chapter 3, if you found it, can you say amen? Amen, all right, that's most of you. 1 John chapter number 3, let's look at it, verse number 16. 1 John 3 and verse 16, it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God." Here's how we perceive it. Here's how we grasp it. Here's how we understand the love of God. "Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." But whoso hath this world's good, we have things, we have our good, and we have our needs and met and so on. And seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? How can we be there and have food to eat and have clothes to wear and have our needs met and so on and see someone that is poor and see someone that is needy and not have any compassion in our heart to care for them or try to help them? He says in verse number 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, let's not just say what we love. We're Christians, we love. No, let's show that we love. Let's show people that we love them. That it's not just love in word and in deed, but in neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Verse number 19 says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Listen, if we truly are children of God, you know what children of God ought to do? Love. Because what does our God do? He loves. He loves the poor and needy. He says, you know what? I want those children in Cambodia to be loved. I want that North Country Baptist Children's Home to go on and to succeed and to be able to take in more children and reach more children. They could take more children with more money. They could have more staff with more money. They could, listen, why do we give to missions? Why do we send the gospel to the ends of the earth? Why do we support missionaries that are trying to care for the poor and needy? Because that's what our God loves. God loves people. God loves these people and God wants to help them. And that's why we as children of God ought to have a part in it. God loves them and so too should we. So too should we. You know, it's a blessing to support missionaries who are showing God's love and care to the poor and needy all around the world. We have a God who doeth wondrous things, and we want the whole earth, listen, to be filled with his glory. We want the whole earth to be filled with his glory. We want all nations to know our great God. Look back in Psalm chapter 72, if you would. Psalm 72. Psalm 72, turn there quickly and look at verses 17 to 19. Again, it says, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Not only does God care for the poor and needy, but our God also cares for the spiritual needs of all people. Our God cares for the spiritual needs of all people. You know what he does? He brings peace to people that have no peace. God bless you. He brings peace. He saves sinners. He forgives sin. He redeems our soul from hell, the Bible says. Look what the Bible says back in Psalm 72 and verse 3. Psalm 72 and verse 3, the mountains shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. Again, it's talking about our God. He comes upon the mountains bringing peace. He comes upon the hills bringing righteousness to people. This verse reminds me of another place where the psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. No, the Lord is our helper. He's our helper. He comes upon the hills bringing peace. He comes upon the mountains bringing his righteousness to us who are sinners, that we might have forgiveness and be redeemed. He is our Savior. He is our righteousness. He is our helper. He is the one who brings peace. Verse 13 tells us that the Lord, he saves the souls of the needy. He doesn't just help them in their poverty and so on, but he also saves their soul. You know, many times people are in spiritual poverty. They don't know the Lord. They don't know the truth. They don't know the God of the Bible. And they're lost and blind in religion and so on without truth. But God saves the souls of the needy. You know, the greatest need that mankind has is for a Savior. I want you to turn with me over to the New Testament. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5. Man's greatest need is for a Savior. I thank God that he cares about the poor and needy. He cares about their needs. But not only that, in his doing of wondrous things, he also cares for the spiritual needs of mankind. People are lost and dying in their sin, and they need Jesus Christ, our Lord. They need the Savior. Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Turn there with me quickly. All right, if you found it, found Romans chapter 5, can you say amen? Amen. That's most of you. All right. Some of you are still working on it. You're a little timid. Can I do it? All right. Natasha, you tell me because it's okay for him to say amen, all right? Here we go, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Your wife will give you permission, all right, to say amen. All right. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know, and I know, we understand the truth. If you've been in church a little while and you know that Adam and Eve, they sinned in the Garden of Eden. Wherefore, it was by one man, it was because of Adam that sin entered into the world, and death because of that sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We understand that man sinned in the Garden of Eden. They disobeyed God's laws. They broke God's law. They did what God told them not to do. And because of that, death entered into the world, and the judgment upon sin entered into the world. Sin entered into the world there for the first time. Notice what the Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us. That word commendeth, it's a word that kind of has the meaning of proving. He commended, he showed it to us, he proved it to us. God showed his love, or God proved his love to us. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow, this is wonderful. This is true. Hey, here's a God who doeth wondrous things. Here's a God that even though we are sinners, even though we've sinned against a holy God and our Creator, still he loves us. And he showed his love to us by sending his Son Jesus Christ into the world to die for our sins. He does wondrous things, doesn't he? Look at verse number 6. Romans 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's me and that's you. We're the ungodly. We were without strength. We were without hope. There's nothing that you and I could do to earn our way to heaven or please God or attain his favor and so on. We're just sinners. We're without hope. We're without strength. We don't have the capability in our own selves to do enough good things to earn our way to heaven. We can never do that because we're sinners at best. But still God loves us. And Christ died for us. Go back to verse number 1. Romans 5 and verse 1. It says, Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Hey, peace comes upon the mountains. Help comes upon the mountains. It comes upon the hills. The Lord is my help. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Listen, through the Lord Jesus Christ, sinners are saved. And what happens? God is glorified. That is God's glory. That is God's glory. When he reaches down to mankind and he shows his love and he sends his Son to die on the cross for sinners. When the world hears about that truth and hears about our God and hears about the Savior and man trusts Jesus Christ, they turn from religion or turn from dead works or they turn from, you know, whatever it is they're trusting in, and they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They trust in him. God is glorified. God's plan of salvation, God's plan of redemption, is you know, enacted by faith. It's by faith that we have access into this. It's by faith that we have access into God's grace and God's redemption and God's goodness. That's why we spread his name. Because we desire God's glory to the end of the earth. And that's why we want the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to be preached not only in Richmond Hill, but to all nations. Why? Because we desire God's glory to the ends of the earth. That's why we send out missionaries. That's why we give and support world evangelism. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we plant churches. Why? Because we want God's glory. We desire God's glory to the ends of the earth. We want God to be glorified through the saving of lost souls. You know, God is glorified when people in all nations know his name. And people in all nations trust in him. And people in all nations serve him and fear him and love him. God is glorified when young men and ladies surrender their lives to God to be missionaries. God is glorified when people give their lives to care for and to love the poor and needy of this world. God is glorified when couples and families give their lives to go around this globe preaching the gospel and planting churches and reaching all nations the way missionaries do. God is glorified when you give your own life and say, my heart and my cause and part of my purpose in living is that I'm going to live for God's glory, and I'm going to live to help those that need the Lord, and I'm going to live to help the poor and needy, and I'm going to live to help people with their spiritual need, and I'm going to live to help people to know God's name and know His Son, Jesus Christ. God is glorified. This is God's glory. This is God's glory to the ends of the earth. God's holiness and God's justice. God's love and God's mercy. God's wrath and God's grace. God's judgment and God's ability to pardon. God's love and God's forgiveness. Listen, these things must be preached. They must be preached to all nations. They must be preached to the ends of the earth. That's how all the earth can be filled with God's glory. That's how all the earth can be filled with God's glory. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 14. In the Old Testament, towards the very beginning of your Bible, you'll find the book of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Turn there with me to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 18. Numbers 14, 18. If you found it, can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Numbers 14 and verse 18. All right, here's a look what the Bible says. The Lord. Hey, this is the Lord God. This is the true God. This is the Lord God who alone doeth wondrous things. This isn't Allah. This isn't some other God. This isn't, you know, one of a Hindu person's many gods. No, this is Jehovah God, the God of the Bible, who alone doeth wondrous things. Look what it says in verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. All the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. You know, the purpose of our worldwide missionary endeavors is God's glory. God's glory to the ends of the earth. God's glory to the ends of the earth. Taking the love of God and showing that God's love to people around this world. Taking it to people of the Philippines and showing them God's love. Taking it to the people of Cambodia and showing them God's love. Taking it to the people of Thailand and the people of China and the people of Australia and the people of the Middle East. Taking it to the people of Africa and Kenya and Tanzania and different nations and giving them the gospel. Listen, we want to take the gospel and help the poor and needy in South Africa and help the poor and needy in Rwanda and help the poor and needy in Uganda. We want to help people. We want to show them God's love. Why? Because that's God's glory. We want it to be that their spiritual needs are met, that the gospel is taken to the people of Tuktoyaktuk in the Northwest Territories. We want to help the Stelzigs to go there and teach people about the redeeming grace of God, the redeeming love of God, that they can be saved, that they can have eternal life, that they can be pardoned and forgiven of their sins. Why? Because it's God's glory. It's God's glory. God's glory to the ends of the earth. Listen, the Lord God is wonderful, and He does wondrous things. Look in Psalm 72 with me, and we're going to be finished. Psalm 72. The Lord God is wonderful, and He alone does wondrous things. He loves and cares for the needy. He loves sinners, and He offers to us His grace and His mercy and His pardon and His forgiveness for all those who will trust in Him. You know what? That's the type of God whose name needs to be made known, isn't it? His name needs to be made known. His name needs to be made known to the Persian people in our community who they've maybe grown up in Islam and they become disenchanted by it. And we know, you can see it, they're not committed any longer to Islam and they're looking for something else. They have a God that's very different than the God of the Bible. Listen, they need to know this God. They need to know the God who alone does wondrous things, who cares for the needy, who actually is not just a God who is so fierce and angry and cruel and so on, but a God who actually pardons and forgives and shows mercy to those who come to Him humbled and put their faith in Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, right? But he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. To those that will come in faith to God, to those who will put their faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, He offers mercy and pardon and forgiveness, redemption, a new life, a changed life. Listen, that's the type of God whose name needs to be made known to the ends of the earth. That's the type of God who's worth serving. That's the type of God who's worth giving your life to. That's the type of God who it's worth saying, God, I'll go. God, I'll serve You. God, I'll give to make Your name known. God, I'll go. I'll do whatever You want me to do. I want Your glory to the ends of the earth. I want Your name to be blessed to the ends of the earth. I want people to call upon Your name in prayer to the ends of the earth. I want people to know You and bless Your name and serve You in all nations. I want that, God. The psalmist desired that. Do you desire that? Verse 8, He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Verse 11, yea, all kings shall fall down before Him, all nations shall serve Him. Verse 12, He shall deliver the poor and needy when he crieth, the poor also and him that hath no helper. Verse 13, He shall spare the poor and needy and shall save the souls of the needy. Verse 17, His name shall endure forever, His name shall be continued. As long as the Son and men shall be blessed in Him, all nations shall call Him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. I want God's glory to the ends of the earth. I hope you do. I hope you'll do what God would want you to do to help God's glory be to the ends of the earth. To make God's name known to the ends of the earth. That people might serve God and know God and fear God and love God and trust in God. Here, around us, and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your word. Thank You for what You've done in my life. Lord, I'm so thankful that You desired Your glory. You desired to be glorified. I'm thankful that so many years ago you sent a preacher to Northern Ontario to a very French community amongst a French-speaking people. And Lord, You sent a preacher to go there and to go to those farmers and to go to those simple people. And I'm so glad and so thankful that a man wanted God's glory even to the ends of Ontario. Even to the ends of those old dirt roads. Even to the sticks, as they called it. There was a man that wanted God's glory, that wanted Your name to be known, and so he took the gospel and he took the truth and he took the word of God to people at the ends of Ontario, at the ends of those roads. My grandpa and grandma Lemieux got saved. My mom got saved. Their life was changed because somebody that desired God's glory to the ends of the earth. Lord, help us to desire God's glory in our community and desire God's glory to the ends of the earth. Help us to be ones that through us flows the love of God. Through us the love of God is shown to the poor and needy. Through us the truth of God and the gospel of Christ and so on is shared to those that are needy spiritually. That through us missionaries are sent. That through us even missionaries and young people are willing to go and people are willing to go and serve Christ. Because we long for Your glory in all nations to the ends of the earth. Lord, please use us. Give us a heart to serve you and a heart that desires your glory. Use us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.